'Twas the weekend of Hype Town, and all through the stream, chatters were buzzing while waiting to see when stores unlock orders and go down a lot while gnashing their teeth and blaming the bots. Rhyming is hard, especially this next part. Welcome your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki. Do I have to rhyme? Fart. This expected news and so much more, rejoice, starts right now on the show where every gamer has a voice.
Job with that intro, and welcome back everybody to another week of Orange Lounge Radio. We are live once again tonight with episode number 842 of our show for this November the 8th of 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me via Discord, as is the way we've been doing things in 2020, say hello first off to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hello,
and how are you doing?
Okay,
good. I know you're a big fan of Supernatural because you talked about that the past couple weeks on the show. And I actually was under the understanding that I thought the big finale, the end of it, was this past week. But I'm wrong. There's like two more episodes, right?
Yeah, there's two more episodes. It's just that the shippers have been losing their shit.
Even Alan brought me up to speed on what happened in the last episode because apparently it was a big deal.
And I have the script of that scene right in front of me. Oh. It was one-sided.
Okay. Oh, fine. Was that at like least, a charity thing?
No, I just have a picture of it. But it's one-sided as far as the declarer versus the declaree.
Mm.
And it puts me back to wanting all forms of love to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
That it's fine for two people to love each other differently.
Mm-hmm.
For one to be in love and the other to not feel the same way back and forth. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that people's ship is invalid. I'm not saying that you can't see what you want to see in it. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the beauty of fandom. There's room for everything.
Or art just in general. Art is interpreted a lot.
Right.
Right.
Well, and now me being, pretty much autistic, I have to go with what's literally in front of me because subtext is kind of lost.
Mm-hmm.
But... The thing that I will say about it is that I think for the people who are angry by it, I know why you're angry. I'm trying not to be spoilery, by the way.
I totally understand. Yeah.
For the people who are happy about it, be happy. I'm just saying that while a healthy debate is fine, it's like religion. Don't inflict it on somebody else if they don't want to see it. Yeah. If that's not... Don't try to convince someone to believe something that you do and throw in ad hominem attacks at mm-hmm. them just because they don't see it the way that you do.
Well, there's still two more episodes left, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of... Now, even I have to admit, I've not really followed the show, but with all this kind of dialogue going on online, I'm curious to see what ends up happening because a lot can happen in 2 hours of TV. Take the Twin Peaks finale, which was a big thing that I was into. The first hour, it was like, okay, they're kind of actually resolving everything. And then the second hour was like, LOL, nope. It's just all these new questions. Yeah, for sure.
Well, in this case, judging by what I know of how they write and the things that are going on for the next two episodes,
mm-hmm.
I think this is pretty much leaving it at this. Okay. So,
fair enough.
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be something made on it, but maybe we'll find out next episode, you know, what the other side is, but
Zen Monkey,
I still
go ahead.
I kind of feel like I've lost some representation, you know, so mm-hmm. as an asexual person.
ZenMonkey71 in chat over at Twitch.tv/VogNetwork asked what show are they talking about. It's Supernatural. It's a show on the CW network, which has been on 15 years. Like, it's weird to think that show has been on almost 15. As long as we have. Almost.
And I'll tell Brad Podculture in chat right now, no, we won't. That was confirmed the last filmed episode, the last filmed scene with him in it.
Huh, interesting. All right.
So, yeah, we won't see the character again. All right. In this run.
All right. We got to get to video games, and I've also got to introduce Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki. How are you?
Hi, I am tired.
Tired?
Yes. I drove 6 hours from Tahoe today.
Oh, my. Sick. Oh, because it was snowing. That's right. Oh, God. Poor thing. What were you doing up in Tahoe? Just family vacation type of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope you had a good time up there. Drive home outside of that.
Yeah, it was all right.
It's okay. Well, I do notice, speaking of games, I noticed behind you tonight, you're very obviously paying tribute to Alex Trebek, who I'm sure many of you know. We lost, unfortunately, today at the age of 80. We all know he was dealing with pancreatic cancer, and I think many of us were kind of thinking, because he was still hosting and doing everything, that he probably still had a bit of time left. But unfortunately, that was a real kick in the butt this morning. And what a game show legend and icon, and just cool dude, really. It's just sad to see him go. But you do kind of show is that the Sega CD version of Jeopardy? I think it is.
Super Nintendo.
Oh, it's a Super Nintendo one. Okay. Because I know he loaned his likeness to pretty much all those games. And he did some voiceovers for some of them, too. So
yeah, there are some voice clips in there as well.
Yeah, that's right. The Super Nintendo one did have some clips in it. Yeah, pretty cool. Fun. All right. Well, let's get into some gaming news, because it is a big week. We are on the eve of something that has only happened really twice in the 18-year history of this show, and that is the launch of a new generation of gaming consoles. Now, you know, it's not always a clean break. Obviously, the Switch came out a couple years ago. We were here the day the PlayStation 3 and the Wii launched the same day. But remember, the 360 kind of came out a year before. But that was all kind of a new generation of games. And then, of course, we were here when the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One came out. And that was kind of a generation of games. And now here we are, the night before, you know, figuratively, the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X or S, depending on how you want to go with it, which is the first kind of interesting thing about this particular generation of games, is that you have multiple SKUs, I guess. I know that term gets overused. But
it's not really true, though.
Okay, I know.
I mean, I guess sort
hold
of.
Hold on. You're not letting me finish, because I know in other generations we've had like the 40 gigs or the 80 gigs, and there are, you know, there's been different ways they bundle it. Like, there might be an accessory or there might be a game. But, you know, this is a pretty, to me, it seems like a pretty radical difference, especially between the X and the S. That's really what I want to call attention to, is that you have two really different consoles with the X and the S, for sure. And then even with the PlayStation 5, you have that digital and non-digital, you know, a more typical format. To me, that feels very different than what we faced in other console generation launches. But go ahead with your thought now that I have all that out.
I mean, I guess. I mean, hardware wise, usually the systems are pretty much identical, aside from a few things. Like, I know with the PlayStation 3, you know, you had a 20 gig system with no Wi-Fi built in, and then you had a 60 gig system that did have Wi-Fi built in. And then, you know, with the Xbox 360, of course, there was the one with a hard drive, one without a hard drive. But yeah, essentially, they were the same, barring, of course, the Wi-Fi and the PlayStation 3. Can't fix that. But everything else was pretty much the same. It's similar to, I guess, the Xbox One and the Xbox One X. I mean, just a little bit different the way that they're releasing it all at once now.
Yeah.
But pretty similar to phones, mm-hmm, and other electronics.
You know, a question I asked on Bobby's show that I'm going to ask, because you guys know we do tape live, of course, on Sunday nights at Vogue Network, and Bobby is on before us, and he's very gracious that he gives a little time at the end of his show every week to talk to me or all of us when we're in the same studio, to a little bit about, you know, some of the hot topics of the week. And something I asked him, and I want to ask you guys and get your take on this too, and you guys in our chat too, is now the right time to be launching this generation? Because I have to admit, and my take on this is, I feel like they should have delayed this to 2021. And I do understand the fiscal perspective of they can't. They've got to make their investors happy. They're under a lot of pressure to do this, so they've got to be getting this out the gate now. But I feel like with all the games that have been pushed back and all the, you know, the how COVID has just screwed everything up when it comes to not just the distribution, but the creation of games and being able to get things done in time, it just feels like I don't want to say that these consoles necessarily feel half-baked, but the launches, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just because we're not going to be able to line up at a store and get them or whatever. Something about the launch feels off.
Well,
it just doesn't
feel
right.
It's a lot of these kind of, I don't know, like I remember back with the Xbox 360 when that launched, there was a lot of like great launch games that came out on the Xbox 360, you know, lots of different, you know, games you could play. Whereas now the stance that everyone's taking, you know, different publishers, you have Microsoft saying, well, listen, our games are going to be compatible through multiple generations of consoles. So you're going to have every, you know, all the new games that are coming out are going to be, you know, playable on your Xbox One through the Xbox Series X, where Sony's kind of doing something similar where they're releasing some games on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 at the same time, which is not unusual. Like, a lot of different games have come out multiple generations. But I don't think, you know, we're seeing a lot of, like, really big exclusive games coming out at launch right now. And probably a lot has to do with COVID and throwing off, you know, development schedules and mm-hmm. whatnot. But isn't it always something that's being delayed because of development schedules, even outside of COVID? So I don't think this is necessarily a unique thing with these new console launches, but I feel that when a game is gold, it should be out already. Just saying.
All right.
A completely different idea about it.
Please, Jamie, I was just going to go to you. What do you think?
I'm thinking it's our own emotional saturation, that it's hard to be excited about something. And the fact that we not only are dealing with probably really bad burnout over the COVID situation, and a lot of us coming off of the election, either people who are, you know, pissing their pants, or those of us who finally feel like we've left an abusive relationship, and dealing with, I mean, true PTSD over it. And then there's like this one little thing that is so frivolous in the scope of what's going on around us that it almost seems like it's a joke. That's how I feel about it.
It's
you know, like,
I was just saying, it's interesting because there's a very similar take, but it's almost the completely other end of this in the chat. And Chad Starzik and Chad or Shane says, now is 100% the right time. More people are inside and need things to do. Granted, not a whole lot of games there, but it's going to help keep people sane, stuck in their house. And OrangeWrite followed that up saying, people need something to look forward to. So it's interesting because, and I kind of get that, but I also totally get what you're saying too.
That's not really the opposite of what I'm talking about, though.
Okay.
I was talking about something completely different.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I do agree that yeah, it's great to have something to look forward to. I think that, honestly, it's a good time for it. But I'm saying emotionally, the excitement is hard to... When you've got so many other emotions that are just so strong and so, you know... And I'm saying this actually as an autistic person, and I'm going to go a little bit actually into some psychology.
Okay.
There is a state that the mind can enter after too much stimulation called alexithymia, which basically it's and for sometimes for us it can happen without stimulation, but a lot of times it comes from overstimulation, where the mind will shut down its emotional centers, and so you can't be excited. There's so much else going on that there's all this hype about it. But really, who's going to be excited about going out and buying something when they're on so many other emotional highs and lows? Do you know what I mean?
I do. I'm still trying to kind of like figure out, like, because, okay, so on one hand we have it's something for people to look forward to. But then there's also, and you can still look forward to it, but then it's like, you can also kind of have that message. I think what you're saying kind of get lost because of all these other stimulations we've just had. Like, we're worked up about the election and maybe we're really excited about that, or we're, you know, excited in a negative way, depending on however you feel about it. And then with COVID, you know, just, you know, knowing people that are getting it or having that fear. So it's kind of like, it's almost hard to feel that same level of stimulation because the world is not a normal place right now.
Exactly. And I mean, that's probably one of the big reasons why I was never super excited about it anyway, apart from just, you know, all the other shit I have to play that I haven't played. It's just like, why? I'm glad it's coming out. Yippee. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
New releases happen.
And
For fuck's sake, I don't care.
I feel like there's a lot of people, maybe a lot more this time around, that are kind of in that boat of, I acknowledge a new console generation is happening, and that seems really cool, but you know what? I don't need to be on this boat day one. I'm going to get on this boat a little later on. I think there's a lot of people that feel like that. And honestly, to some extent, I think that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I feel like if I didn't have this show and I didn't feel a sense of obligation to really stay on top of, you know, what's going on in gaming and so forth, I'm not so sure I would have even tried to get the Xbox Series X on launch day, just because, you know, again, it's a lot of playing old stuff right now on both fronts. There's not a lot of new stuff on PlayStation 5 even that you can't play on PlayStation 4 right now. And of course, we know with the Xbox Series X, just everything's getting delayed to next year, so it's really resting on the strength of its launch catalog. That being said, I still feel a sense of disappointment that I'm probably not going to get one on Tuesday, because I have this situation with Amazon that a lot of you have, really, it seems like the vast majority, where just no shipping dates are coming out.
I dealt with that with my TurboGrafx for an age.
Yeah. So most of us feel like we're just not going to be getting that console on Tuesday at this point, and we don't really have the option to just walk into a store and pick one up or whatever, because neither PlayStation 5 or Xbox One are going to be flowing on the retail shelves. And they kind of say part of that is an effort to not create these bad situations for COVID.
Right.
But I think it's a convenient excuse, I think, too.
PR.
There's a big other factor that people really aren't throwing into consideration as well, and that's dealing with the massive loss of income that people have suffered this year due to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. We don't have, as a country, the capital to put out money for frivolous things. And I'm going to say it flat out. Video game system is frivolous. It's a want. It's not a need.
Right.
And when people, I was just actually listening to another podcast talking about the statistics of people who have actually had to go without food to feed their children.
Right.
And we've got buy this, you know, buy this stuff. I don't know. It doesn't feel right to me. I mean, people need the distraction. It's good to be excited. It'll be nice for people to have something to do, but it just doesn't sit right with me right now.
No, I get it. Like, and that's why I'm not going full blown, like, can I speak to the manager mode on this? Because like, I completely recognize that, okay, I'm not getting the console Tuesday, but there's far worse news I could be getting in the world. But it does still feel like that whole, like, well, I'll just chalk that up to the list of things that just happened in 2020, because this has just been a shit year, and that one thing I was looking forward to, guess I'm not getting that either. You know, it does just feel a little bit like a, you know, kick me while I'm down type of thing. But I understand I could be a lot more down than I actually am. So there's a lot of situations where that comes into play, where it's like, you have to recognize that you have it better than a lot of people, but that doesn't mean you can't ever feel like, damn, I wish this had gone my way. You know,
your suffering does not invalidate the suffering of others.
Yes.
It's not a contest,
right? Yes. It's not a contest. It's a good way to put it.
And if it is, fuck, that's a shitty contest.
It's not a contest a person wants to win, is it? Let's see. Just trying to get some other comments in chat here about the topic. You guys are really lighting up chat. And I do want to acknowledge, too, I don't usually talk about the donations and the bits and subs until the end of the show, but I would be remiss not to mention the hype train y'all have going in chat right now, which means you got a lot of people subbing and donating. And I just want to express my thanks for that. And especially when we're sitting here talking about people having problems making ends meet with everything that's going on, you guys still have the heart to be generous and, you know, help us keep doing this, what we're doing on Sunday night. So I just want to say thank you very, very much for that. I really appreciate it. Anyhow, getting to some other comments, DJ Rama S says Best Buy is sending out emails to people to arrange pickup times for their consoles. Yeah, actually. And Shane was telling me about, because he's a big, you know, it seems like, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Shane, but he seems like he's really team Best Buy, and he always kind of gets his stuff at Best Buy, and he's really kind of supports them as a store or whatever, which is, you know, fine. And he was telling me about that, and I was like, damn, that does kind of sound like a really good system. It almost makes me wish I had, you know, got from there instead. But, you know, with most things I get from the old Amazon, it just shows up at my doorstep, and that's awfully convenient. Well, and it's never really caused me a big problem till now.
I got mine from a Walmart.
Okay.
Because it was the first site that allowed me to actually pre-order. And so far with the other thing that I had pre-ordered with them, which was Mario Kart Live, it's been 0 for 1. I have a expected delivery date, which means nothing because I had the same thing with Mario Kart Live. So we'll have to wait and see. It's supposed to be here later than launch day.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't understand how I would be on back order because like I was literally there the second that it went live. Like, it's got to be within the first batch. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
I thought I had it for Xbox too. I think thinking back on that day, I thought I got the Series X pre-ordered before the Wario 64 tweet went out. So I thought I was in the early batch, but I guess maybe not. I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Allocations change. Who knows?
Yeah. Let's see, looking at some other, so Akuma JP in chat is saying, totally opposite here in Japan. Most of us buy it with our stimulus. Oh, so, well, you know, if they had ended up doing another stimulus package here in the US, which they never got around to doing, but you know, again, I don't want to get into a political show, but maybe they will, maybe they won't at this point. But I bet if they had done one this month, there'd be a lot of people using the stimulus to get a video game. Absolutely. And, you know, again, some people may have feelings about if that's an appropriate way to spend a stimulus check. But I also kind of think like, hey, if it's something for your mental health, like, I get it. Like, I ain't going to tell somebody how to spend their money. That's a relationship between a person and their money. That's a relationship I do not want to be the third wheel in. Let's see. SSJ100 Matt says, I think I missed a lot of the social energy that I lost from in-person stuff with my coworkers. I think due to the loss of that amount of energy just made me lethargic. It has been that kind of year, hasn't it? DJ Roma S says, not for nothing. If 2020 didn't turn out to be so shitty, I'd be a lot more vocal about how angry I'd be about not getting an Xbox Series X on Tuesday. Yeah, I think it's kind of similar, Rama. Like, sure, I sent a pointed tweet to Amazon, but at the same time, it's a tweet, and I got a copy paste response from somebody that, you know, is assigned to do it. Whatever. I think everything that's happened this year does kind of put it in perspective. It's like,
now
I'm disappointed.
Now,
but
you got 2 copy paste responses.
I did get 2 copy paste responses. Because I felt like being sassy. What? It's Twitter.
I got one, too, because I complained about McDonald's French fries not being, like, great.
But you know what?
I was like, sorry, we failed. I'm like, okay, well, that doesn't fix the French fries I had a few days ago.
I stand by what I said, though, actually, because, and just to be clear, because, you know, again, I can say this without, you know, being a total entitled SOB, and I'm going to explain the difference. Because what I'm upset about with Amazon is that I just have a vague message, like many of you, again, I know I'm in the same boat as the vast majority of you that ordered there too. I have a generic message that says, you know, order has been received. And there's nothing about when it's going to ship, when they expect, even an estimate, what place in line I am, or how long, you know, what the estimate is. That's what really bugs me about it, is that it gives me nothing to plan. You know, when I walk into a retail store, at least I can see if there's a line snaking around the block or something. I'm going to be like, oh crap, maybe I'm not going to get one because I'm too far back in line, or oh, this is going to be a 2-hour wait. I can kind of assess that and decide what I want to do as a result. But Amazon's not letting me have that option by just having this generic, yes, we got your order message. So that is really my complaint, is that, you know, if you would just tell me you're not getting it on Tuesday, but we estimate you're going to get one in a week. All right, whatever. I can wait a week. You're not going to get one Tuesday, but we estimate you're going to get one within a month. Ooh, well, maybe I'm going to shop around some other retail outlets, but if I can't find it, I'll just hang on to that. At least give me a chance to figure out the situation. And that's what's irritating. So, let's see. Mishin Chat says, I feel like, not to be a Debbie Downer, but as long as you handle your responsibilities, then it shouldn't matter what you do with said stimulation check or anything in your possession re-money. And that is how it's not my business. How you spend your money is not your business. Phoenix 7726 says, so is this to do with component shortages or is it something else? I'm not sure. I'm not sure we have a clear answer on that. And that would rest with Sony and Microsoft as to what's going on. I think there is a general assumption that with the way the world is right now, and keep in mind, people can't really move between countries right now. We have a lot, and it's been that way for like 9 months. Like the Canadian border has been closed for like 9 months, and that's a border with a lot of countries. Yes, I know there's some exceptions, but let's just say just about every country, okay? So when goods are coming in from places like China and where these things are being assembled, I imagine it's a much slower process. This is what I believe when Intellivision did delay to next year, because remember the Amico was supposed to be out. What was their little catchy date? 10-10-20, was
October it? October 10th.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be out 10-10-20, and they pushed back to something 1-2-3-4. What the hell was it? Like, I don't remember. So they have a catchy new date now. 4-3-2-1.
4-3-2-1, yeah.
But that was blamed on the state of the world and the components, you know, and just the trickiness of being able to get all those goods from the factories in right now. So I think we're all assuming that is the problem, but I don't think we've had a clear answer from Sony or Microsoft on what is going on with those supply shortages. So, no, no. All right. And Phoenix 7726 is talking about isn't there a huge, just scroll off the screen. Oh, isn't there a huge shortage of a popular new NVIDIA graphics card? Yep, that was an issue too. PixelPaka says, my SXSX Amazon order says arriving November 19th through 24th. So they are providing some people with that info, but not everyone clearly, which is shitty. Now see, PixelPaka, when you say that, like I'm happy for you and I'm glad you have that, but that actually makes me really concerned now, because I am left to assume that if you have that date, they haven't given me a date because it's going to be after that. Like, I'm a December person at this point. And again, I want to know. Like, if that's the news, then that's the news, and I'll deal with it. And I promise I'm not going to chew your head off about it. But just be real with me, you know? That's all I want. Anyway. All right, enough about my problems. Let's move on. I want to talk a little bit about some of the kind of like related things that have to do with PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, because we're getting all these, again, last minute, like, oh, it is not going to be baked. This isn't going to be ready in time. It didn't finish. Like, what's going on, Logie?
So now, if you want to have like a lot of different Call of Duties installed to your hard drive, well, you might not be able to do that right away. So apparently the PlayStation 5 expandable SSD storage options not going to be available at launch. It'll be something that's patched into it. So right now it is useless. It is reserved for a future update, they say. So you can't expand any storage to using that M.2 drive or NVMe yeah, it's an M.2 NVMe slot, but I think you can still use USB hard disk storage. It's just it's not going to necessarily be as fast as having that internal storage. I'm not sure if you can use it for everything, but yeah, that kind of sucks because that was something that they were kind of talking about. But I know that was also really convoluted as well, because it was like, okay, well, only certain drives are going to be compatible. And I don't remember if they released a list of those, but I don't know. It's just complicated.
Hmm.
But yeah, so that kind of sucked. And then, yeah, as we kind of talked about a little bit before, that the PlayStation 5 is not coming to retail anytime soon because it is going to be available only online. They say it's for COVID reasons, but probably just supply shortages. So we'll see.
Well, but to be fair, the supply shortages could be because of COVID reasons. So,
true.
I mean, yeah.
But like any console launch, though, it's not surprising that there's console shortages. So that's why I kind of a little skeptical that, yeah, it could be because of that, but also maybe not necessarily because of that. So we'll have to wait and see.
Bobby talking about some of the space issues in our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork saying you cannot play PlayStation 5 or XSX games from external storage. You can store XSX games on external storage. You can't even store PS5 games on external storage yet. And then a question was asked about what's the base storage. Bobby with the receipts saying PlayStation 5 gives you 667 gigs available. X Series X has 802 gigs available. X Series S has 364 gigs available. But remember, that's because your operating system and all that stuff is on there already. The same thing happens with phones or pretty much any device that, has some type of storage system on it, because whatever the electronic device is, its operating system is always going to take up a portion of that. So,
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And Phoenix7726 says, oh, shit, maybe they should have started at 2 terabytes. Yeah, maybe they should have. But at least they do have that, you know, capability of having the external storage, even if it's a little bit weird, like you got to copy it over and then bring it in and, you know, whatever you got to do to make it work.
The internal storage as well. Yeah, so Series X has, and yes, they both have their proprietary SSD drives, which aren't necessarily overpriced, which is nice. It's not like, you know, we're not talking Vita memory cards here, but it's still, you know, 2 terabyte SSDs are a little bit pricey. Mm-hmm. They're a couple $100, mm-hmm. but it is an option for you if you feel that, you know, that's not going to be adequate for space wise. I'm just going to wait and see.
Okay. And I just want to throw a quick thing out there. So this will be on the podcast, as I think we're still going. But I am having some internet issues here, and Comcast has been going up and down a little bit. Are my co-hosts still able to hear me? Okay. Okay, so they stopped moving. So I think what's happening is that my internet just went down. And unfortunately, this was something that has been an issue here all day. And then I was having a good like 6 hour run where the internet was holding steady. And it looks like it may have dropped again. So I'm going to see if it came back up real quick and check in with my co-hosts. Okay, so it sounds like they're not there. So I'm just going to pause the recording here and we'll be right back. Okay, and we're back, and as I think Dark Sakura and Loki were letting you guys know in chat, unfortunately, there have been, and I've actually posted a message about this in our Discord as well, over at vognetwork.com/Discord. Unfortunately, there's just been internet issues outside of my control that are happening in the area. I thought that all went away this morning because I was able to play a good hour and a half of Final Fantasy 14 earlier and I was watching streams, but unfortunately it did hit the show. But we're going to try to keep going here from where we left off. So sorry about that, guys. But again, some things are just out of my control. So where did we leave off? We were talking about the PlayStation 5 and the data storage issues, right?
Right, yeah. So I was saying that, you know, at least with the Xbox Series X and S, they have their official storage solutions, which are decently priced. They're not like, you know, Vita memory cards or anything like that. So there's that option, but that's more of something that I'd wait and see, you know, what the games look like and how much it's using up storage, because I think, you know, with Games Pass, just kind of cycle that stuff through. But we'll have to see how that ends up working out. I know there's another Call of Duty right around, like, literally this week. So that could be a problem if you're playing multiple Call of Duty games. But, yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
All right. Well, now, as far as our take on the next generation, if I remember correctly from prior episodes, Dark Sakura and her household are not hopping on the bandwagon this week. I think that they're waiting on that other retro system instead.
Oh, yeah. The Atari VCS. Well, congratulations.
Not on your... that.
No, I want the PC Engine one. Yeah. But still, it doesn't mean we're not going to get one. But quite likely, if we get either of them, I'm leaning toward the PS5.
Okay. And I have opted to go with Xbox Series X, although the Amazon shipping issues may prevent me from getting one this next week, so I may not be able to talk about it on the next episode. And I talked on a prior episode, and I don't want to repeat myself too much, but just I will get both consoles eventually. It's just personal finances and situations really only allow for one this year. I have a PlayStation 4 Pro. I have an older Xbox, like from the first when they first detached Kinect. So it just makes a little more sense. It's more of a bump up on the Xbox side than it is on the PlayStation side for now. But I will get PS5 probably next year. Certainly when Final Fantasy 16 comes out, because I need that shit. And then Loki, what about you? You're PlayStation 5 this week, right?
No, it's Series X this week.
Oh, I thought. Getting,
I know. No, I don't have a PlayStation 5 because I don't know. I don't really need one. And I never got an Xbox the last generation. So,
all right.
Perfect.
All right. So hopefully we'll hear at least Loki's Xbox story this next week. And one of us will crack and get a PlayStation 5 eventually. And certainly we'll be following everything that's going on. I know Bobby, who's on before us, he's confirmed for PlayStation 5 this week. So I know he'll be giving us some of the details on that. And like many of you, I'll probably be watching lots of streams of people from their PlayStation 5, checking that out. You know, what the hell is this Godfall game? Is that even the name of it?
Yeah. It was garbage. It's so terrible looking.
Let's see. It'll be out there on Twitch, so we'll finally get some answers there. I'm very curious about the Demon's Souls remake. I want to see what that looks like, and I know my husband is probably curious about that too. So we'll take a look at that. But in the meantime, and I think there's some of you that are in the same mindset. Even if I don't get Xbox this week, I still have such a huge gaming backlog, and there's so much I can still do with my PC that it's going to be fine. I'll have plenty of games to take my mind off of everything else in the world. All right. Let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks, kind of in a related note, how our gaming weeks were and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. So, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week? Dark Sakura is currently muted.
I keep forgetting that my mute button isn't on my headset anymore because I have a different headset.
No worries.
It was the usual as Animal Crossing. I picked up Child of Light for Switch, but I haven't really played much of it since I first played it. Just a little pinball. Like I said, this week I've been getting over pneumonia. And I haven't had a lot of energy to play a bunch of stuff, I'll be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of some handheld gaming, just some stuff on my phone. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to keep going on Final Fantasy V because I decided to play that again. Most of the time, I just want to play something that I don't have to use my brain for. I just want to turn my brain off and do something mindless. Well, by mindless for me, puzzles and word games are my kind of mindless because they're the right kind of stimulation, but I don't have to strategize. Make sense?
No, totally. Because like P-Cross is my jam when I just want to chill
out. For me,
it's
Wordscapes.
Yeah.
Totally Wordscapes. I've been playing a shitload of this. And I'm quite proud of myself because finally my vocabulary of semi-lewd and body functional terms has come in handy for extra points.
All righty then. All right.
Hey, I got to use ulnar once, and I got to use fecund once, even though it wasn't on the thing. I got my bonus points for it.
These words sound foul.
It's like, I think, means like fertile.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
The word fecundity is a fun one.
Let me go to we'll go back to Dark Sakura for a vocabulary lesson later. But in the meantime, Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton because I'm still working on my game. So I did work on a little bit this week.
You going to give us an ETA yet? Or are you going to be all Amazon about this?
Soon.
Okay, you're going to be Blizzard about it. All right.
Hopefully I'll have something soon to share, but not yet. We'll keep working on it. Just a little bit of Orna this week, a little bit of Minecraft. It's pretty much it.
Nice. Yeah, I've been still enjoying my new TV, which I talked about last week, and just replaying some games on there, like Tetris Effect, and watching a lot of Twitch streams on there and so forth. Still playing Final Fantasy XIV, way too much of that game, but also way never enough. And then one random game I got into again, which I haven't played in a long time, because, you know, I Blizzard and I have been fighting for a little while, and I'm still not really happy with them. But I'm getting slowly to that point where I'm like, I might pick up the phone and call and be like, can we just like get together for the night, you know, type of thing with Blizzard. So you know, I had my WoW adventure, which is already kind of come and gone. But I got back into Diablo 3 randomly this week, which season 21, I mean, it was on my computer anyway, and I'm not paying any money to do it, so because I already bought it a long time ago. So I jumped into season 21 just to see, you know, what has changed with this game in the years since I've played it last. And the answer is not a lot, honestly, although they're going with crazy twist for the season now. Like this latest season, you basically like build up a meter as you kill monsters, and then like every minute or so, like depending on how much you've built up on your meter, you do like this ultra powerful attack. Like either meteors will rain down from the sky, or you'll shoot laser beams from your hands for like a certain amount of time or whatever. So it's kind of interesting. It mixes it up a little bit. And considering how long that game's been around, it's I guess pretty impressive they're still putting little twists on it all this time later. And kind of talking about like that mindless thing you were talking about, Dark Sakura. Like, honestly, the night that I was playing Diablo 3 a lot was Tuesday, to take my mind off of everything else that was going on in the world. And y'all know what I'm talking about. And like for me, that was a really good way to get my brain to just like shut off about everything else going on and just focus on the clicking orgy, because that's what Diablo 3 is, the clicking orgy of killing all the monsters with my fire spells, because I was leveling a wizard and think got it all the way to level like 40 in a night. So yeah, so that was my week with Diablo 3 a little bit, and then just other little things here and there. Like Loki, I've been playing Orna. I got to level 200 in Orna, and do you know what happened, Loki? I just what? Hit, if you go to the regional leaderboard and the top players in the region, I'm now number 100. So, nice. Yay me. Yeah,
I apparently don't play enough because I'm still like 180 or something, and I still haven't quite gotten there. Maybe I'm 190, I don't remember. But yeah, I've been just trying to play when I can. I don't play all the time, though, so... Yeah, I'm not leveling very fast.
On the top 100 board, I am 100. So there's that. But I think the regions in Orna are pretty big, because I think there's a lot of Bay Area players on that list too. So I don't think it's like Ingress is kind of a smaller area. It's just like the Sacramento-ish area. But then when it comes to Orna, I think it's really like almost all of Northern California. So that's kind of cool, I guess. I need
to get higher levels and start capturing more areas.
All right. Let's get into some other news for the week. So we'll get into some more PlayStation 5 news, right, Logie?
Yes, yes, yes. So we kind of know that PT wasn't going to be backwards compatible with the PlayStation 5, mainly because it's not available in the marketplace at all. So how are you going to be able to download it and play it? But on top of that, though, apparently it was available, or it was working at one time. But there was no, once again, it was a publisher decision to not have it work, apparently. Mm-hmm. So Konami is really hellbent on you not playing that game.
So to make this clear, because some, like, you know, journalists and influencers and preview deemed people got a PlayStation 5 already. And through that process, some of them learned that they were able to play the PT demo. When word got out about that, access was changed so that you can't play that demo anymore. So this is not a case of the emulator was incapable of playing it. This is a case of the publisher turned it off. So,
yeah.
But, okay, so I'm of two mindsets about this, but I have to ask this question because obviously I follow a lot of, you know, gaming social media and chat groups and things like that. And one message that I saw come up that I think is a fair question is, what is the big fucking deal? Like, why is this narrative of PT, and I'm completely, you know, kind of embellishing the question a little bit, but Why is PT still something that's dominating all of these headlines years later? And what does it matter if it doesn't play on the PlayStation 5? It was never supposed to be a thing that was playable on the PlayStation 5. So why do we care so damn much?
I don't know if we necessarily care that it works or not. It's more of just how petty it is for Konami to just say, oh, yeah, it does work, but we're going to take an extra step to make sure it really doesn't work. That's just that level of pettiness is kind of fascinating.
Interesting, because two people in chat also use that word petty to describe it. Very interesting. Questbuster in chat says it's that Konami, a multi-million corporation, would spend manpower to do this. Phoenix7726 says because shitloads of people still want that Silent Hill. I hate to break it to you, but you're never going to get that Silent Hill. And it sucks. Like, I know. Like, and believe me, I'm right there with you. I really wanted to play that game. But you're not, like, we're never going to get to play that game. Now, we might get to play Kojima does a horror take in a different type of scenario. Or, you know, what? Even if Konami, Sony, Kojima, they all sat down at the table and somehow worked out all their shit, I would still argue you're not going to get the same vision that started all those years ago when that PT demo came out. And that is still right. A very daydreaming type of theory.
You could get it if, Microsoft bought Konami.
Even then, it would. You might get a new Silent Hill game, but you're not going to get that game. Dark Sakura, I know Silent Hill is a franchise you've always been a big fan of. Do people get too attached to this PT demo? Like, does it matter that we can't play it on PS5? What's your take?
People love what they love, but the company is well within their rights to remove it, to remove the ability. It was supposed to have never been able to still be accessed again, so it doesn't surprise me that this has happened. That being said, maybe it's a little, I mean, clearly I think they have to patch that out for legality reasons. That's my thought. Mm. And people are right to be disappointed. You know, how you feel is how you feel. It's valid. It's good. But at the same time, a little bit of logic has to prevail. If they were taking it off the PlayStation Store to begin with, then there has to be a reason for it, and my thought is that it's leading more toward legality.
You bring up
that it's some.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I want to let you.
Just that it's something that there is no longer an active license to possess. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. Because I was going to say I pulled two excellent points that you just brought up here that I don't think a lot of the stories and a lot of the reactions to this are getting into. And one of them is that legal element that you're touching on, because you do have, you know, you have Norman Reedus and his likeness that is in that. You do have Kojima's name when he is long no longer an employee of Konami. One has to wonder, is there a legal responsibility they had to turn off that demo, because they legally have no rights to those names or likenesses anymore, and it could get them in trouble for them to do nothing. And
I think at that point,
oh, sorry.
I think at that point, that's very likely. But when they first took PT down, that was fully Konami's decision to do.
Right. And that leads me to the second point that you had brought up that I think is spot on, is that you said that we were never supposed to be able to play this beyond when Konami took it down originally. It's because of the hacking, backdooring, cracking, modding, you know, all that stuff seen that allowed us to kind of extend this demo's life, whether Konami liked it or not. So that kind of begs the question for me, even though this is the news right now that you can't play it, will the hack, crack, mod, you know, that community, could they possibly figure out, like, put a false flag on the game or something so that it reads as something else? I don't know. And make the game playable again on a PlayStation 5. I feel like this is going to be...
Hacker's going to hack.
Hacker's going to hack. And I feel like this is going to be a challenge like getting Doom installed on a toaster. Can I get PT to run on the PlayStation 5 after all? And no matter how you feel about the demo and its relevance anymore, it's just become what we like to call in the industry, a thing. It's a thing. Like being able to continue to play the PT demo, it's a thing. So somebody's going to try to get it to work on the PlayStation 5. Why? Because it's a thing.
Because it is.
It is. All right. Let's move on. Speaking of the hacking, cracking, modding, and, you know, fans kind of bending things around to get what they want, this is very interesting because I thought this was going to be gone for good. There was an app that was released on iOS called Stadium. And Stadium was taken down from the App Store because Stadium, which is, if you didn't know, this is an app that basically it allows you to play Google Stadia on your phone, which is not something that Google is yet allowing. And a lot of that ties into the same tricky policy stuff that has been hitting Microsoft. But now we're seeing that companies are finding that, oh, well, if we do a web-based app like Luna is doing a solution like that, it's not a problem because we're effectively going around the store, which was a solution that Apple actually was kind of pointing to in one of those many legal filings. Anyway, I digress a little bit, but that's where this all kind of came from, is that because Google had yet to put something out officially, the fans did it themselves. So Stadium got yanked, but at the time it was because it used public APIs in a manner not prescribed by Apple. But apparently a solution has now been found to that problem. I'm not going to get into it right now because it's a little bit technical. What you need to know is that Stadium 1.2 is out, and it was Apple has put the stamp on it. So it will allow you to run Google Stadia on this. So now it doesn't yet support your Bluetooth controller, and that is part of the change that had to happen to get the approval to go through, but it's still interesting to point out it works. By the way, Stadium is not just like a Google Stadia device. It is a browser, and this browser allows you access to Stadia. So that is another reason why, because you might be wondering, like, why would Apple let something like that on? Because technically, it's just a web browser, and there's nothing wrong with releasing a web browser. It happens to be a web browser that will play Stadia as a convenient little perk. So interesting, huh? So, I mean, I don't know how much I'm interested in playing games on the phone without a controller, but there might be some games that would lend itself okay to it. I can't think of any, like, it's not going to be Destiny 2, but I find it fascinating that a fan project has beat Google to the punch.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I could see that there might be some games that'd be worth playing, but then I remember it's Stadia, and then no.
I'm not going to blame the game developers for a lot of things that Google has botched with the launch of Stadia. There's some fine, decent games on Stadia, plenty of them. But there are
plenty of those games are also on all the other consoles.
Exactly. It's the Wii U problem. It's that the launch titles are mostly things we've played before about a year ago. But that's, you know, I do not fault the developers of the game for wanting to make every dollar they can off those games. So it's not their fault. It's Google's. But now this is, you know, this fan has potentially enabled the developers to make money because there's another place they can play the games. So it's just interesting. Bobby does point out, you know, trying to ground us a little bit here, and I do think he's right here. Bobby Blackwolf says, developing an app at Google has many other layers of management and code review and other red tape, and a fan can create an app without all that. Yes, that is a fact. But isn't it interesting that we live in a time and age where, because of that, a fan can beat Google to their own punch? Sort of. I mean, you know, the Bluetooth controller problem and so forth. But still, look how much press. This is the Stadia headline of the week. It's nothing that Google did. It's something one of their fans did. And I think this is very fascinating. And it makes a strong case for it. Does Google have too damn much red tape? It's just interesting. So, all right, let's move on. We have some other really big news this week. Dark Sakura. Now, I don't know if you know, because I think you were off the week that this happened. I banned this game from the show because I was sick of talking about rumors every single damn week. There was some rumor, and I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm not bringing this up again until it is officially confirmed. Well, what happened,
Dark
Sakura?
Just because you banned it doesn't mean I did.
I know, but you conveniently haven't brought it up since that happened. Probably for similar saturation reasons, but it doesn't matter because it's all changing tonight anyway, right?
Correct. Well, as we know, yesterday, which was Saturday for us, was N7 Day, which is, of course, a big thing for all the Mass Effect fans.
Yes, that's why everybody was dancing at the gas station, right?
Girl. At any rate, and for those who are like, who, you know, have been living under a hole and doesn't know how much we love Mass Effect, N7 is the designation of like the elite class of military.
Yeah.
So like they make the Army Rangers and Navy SEALs cry. So anyway, BioWare released word about the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. We've been griping long enough. They said, here you go. So they've been working for, they say for months, updating the textures, shaders, models, technical features of all three games. And they said they didn't want to remake or reimagine it, but modernize it so that fans and new players can experience it in, quote, its best possible form. This should improve frame rate, better visual enhancements, and it's supposed to be optimized for 4K Ultra HD, which is cool. It says it's going to have every single player base content, all the DLC from all three games, the promo weapons, armors, packs. It will be in spring 2021 for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC, and they are doing forward compatibility with extra enhancements for Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5. So, you know what? It could be good. I'm feeling happy about it. My husband's like, isn't this already like really great on your computer? And I'm like, number one, it looks great on my computer because I downloaded high-res mods.
Right.
And extra lighting tools and all of this. So I'm looking forward to see what it looks like. You know, I would like to have hair physics, please. Mm-hmm. I want the hair to look like good hair. And I can't wait for the modding community after this.
Well,
so I think it's going to...
Oh, I was going to say, I'm happy they finally confirmed it. But isn't it odd we didn't get a screenshot? That trailer didn't show anything as far as the actual game is concerned. Like, I don't know, maybe those renders of the characters, because they did look really good. Maybe they're from the game, but we don't really know. They didn't show any of the actual game in motion. I thought that was a strange choice.
Their release date, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they're half a year away from this. So, yeah. If anything, you know, I'll be perfectly honest. I kind of want them to sit on it. I want to be surprised by it. I want to look at it and say this was worth the wait. That's my hope.
You want to really that reason to buy it again that your mods didn't do for you, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to all new and exciting mods.
True.
So, because you know the community for this game is going to go, I got a new toy to play with. So happy N7 Day to all of our fans. And I briefly revived the Mass Effecting tag and made a section for Mass Effect stuff on Gen X Geeks. So
now, I'm sure a lot of you are wondering out there in Orange Lounge Radio Land, those of you that have been listening to the show for a while anyway, that like to make fun of me because I bought Mass Effect 3 four times. Yes, I did. I bought it on Xbox. Then I got the trilogy on PlayStation. I bought the Wii U version even just because it was cheap. It was on sale. And I got the PC version so I could play multiplayer online with friends. I bought Mass Effect 3 four times. So the question is, am I going to buy it a fifth time? And the answer is... hell yes, I'm gonna buy it a fifth time through the Legendary Edition. Although it is a bummer the multiplayer isn't there, but I get it. Like, they're focusing on, you know, fixing up the story. It is gonna have all the DLC and all of that, so you don't have to worry about buying any of that again. And you know, again, the rumors were saying that Mass Effect 1 was gonna be getting quite a tune-up under the hood and some of the mechanics. Yeah, so I'd be very curious to see kind of what happens there. And I think it'll be a good excuse to play through it all again.
The other thing with the first Mass Effect is I do believe that it is mechanically different than 2 and 3 because 2 and 3 were built around the same structure. And on top of that, the play styles for 2 and 3 are more alike than necessarily it was for the first one.
Right.
So what I would hope for is that they all get a uniform play method. And honestly, I'm hoping that it's like Dragon Age Inquisition. That would be my hope.
Some of the comments in chat. Shad Starzik says, I bought the N7 NZXT PC case they put out yesterday. It was so pretty. I don't know if you saw that, but yeah, that case was pretty. I will say that. I kind of showed that to Alan, and I was like, you want that for Christmas? He's like, no. I'm like, why not? Isn't it pretty? He's like, yeah, it's pretty, but that means I need a new computer to put in it. I'm like, oh, geez. All right. But yeah, it was a pretty computer case. And then the other thing, and
The thing is that I can make that. My case that I have right now really isn't too far off, and I honestly like mine the way mine looks better.
And then I did it
myself.
The other thing I want to mention, in that blog post, there was the one screenshot of, but this is almost more exciting than the trilogy, honestly, of a new Mass Effect game. So there's also that confirmation that they are going to do another Mass Effect game, which shouldn't really be a surprise, but Andromeda got kind of a mixed reception. So I think there was a question of how long are they going to keep Mass Effect on ice due to the, similarly cold reception to Andromeda. And the answer seems to be, it's all in how you look at it. Not long, but these games are going to take years and years to develop. I would say, yay, we got a screenshot. I wouldn't expect this game to be out for 3 or 4 more years. It's going to be a while. And it's certainly not going to be Andromeda 2, but we don't know that either. It could be, but I just don't see them doing that. So I'm so curious where the series ends up going.
You know what? I still am still pissed off that we never got the Corian DLC. I did end up finally buying the book, which I haven't read yet, but still, it just makes me want to go back and say, fuck Anthem. I can't say it again because of words. Words are hard.
SHO and Hunter Matt says, I kind of want to see a roundtable with Rob, Jamie, and Travis about the Mass Effect remaster. And yeah, I'll be so into that. But when the remaster releases, I kind of feel like there's not a lot to talk about right now, but when we get a lot closer to release and at the release, absolutely, let's have that discussion, because I know Travis is a big fan. Somebody said you need to invite Shane. Of course, if he wants to join in on that, that would be a fun discussion. So look for that spring of next year. Was it spring or was it summer of next year?
Spring.
Spring. Okay, well, that's not too bad. So well, let's wait a little longer.
Hey, just in time for my birthday. Hint, hint.
Maybe you'll get your wish. Who knows? All right, let's move on to our next story. Loki.
So this is kind of crazy. So, of course, Arcade went up putting out all sorts of great arcade reproductions. And now they have their first driving cabinet. So OutRun is the brand new cabinet. It is a sit-down racing game. And it's going to include Turbo OutRun, OutRunners, Power Drift, and, of course, the original OutRun as well for $4.99. And they've already got it sold out. But, man, that thing looks cool. Although I wish it was a Cruisin' or a Rush. Not so much a huge OutRun fan.
Dude, no. OutRun would absolutely make itself at home in this house. Because Dan fucking loves OutRun.
Do you think it will? Because this isn't a theoretical. This cabinet is coming.
We want the...
It's already been sold out, yeah.
Oof.
Well, we'll see. But we still want the pinball too, you know.
Yeah, but Arcade 1-Up's been having a hell of a year. We can at least agree on that, I think, is that, I'm not sure people were sold on the idea of these replica, I don't want to say full-size arcade cabinets because y'all are going to get me on the details.
Like
it's like 3/4, but it when they're sitting on those boxes, it feels pretty full, you know what I mean? So very close, a darn close experience to the real thing. And you know, yes, I know y'all are going to want to argue about CRTs versus those TVs. Look, just humor me here. It's a
they
mass
don't make CRTs anymore. Yeah, what
exactly.
Are you going to do?
It's a mass produced experience that's licensed that's very similar to the real thing. And people weren't sure if these were going to sell or if people were going to pay that kind of money for these things. But look at how far they've come. These machines are they're making so many of them. And they're something you could just walk up and buy at Costco right now or Walmart. And so forth. So they're doing well enough to have that space. And I would really love to have more, but I've talked about why I'm only sticking with the one for now. But, you know, once the place and the time becomes available, would I look into getting more of these arcade one-up machines? Absolutely. Excuse me. SSJ100 Matt says, the main thing is that arcade one-up is innovating so much with these cabs. In such a short time, too. Pod Culture says, I love my Star Wars cabinet. Bobby Blackwolf pointing out they're making a stand-up version, too. So if you don't want to do the sit-down one, that is an option. That's very similar to Star Wars, because I believe Star Wars had a sit-down type of thing, too.
Yeah, and the thing about the sit-down one is it's very large. Like, I get it, like, that they have that kind of bench seat that's there. And unlike the Star Wars one, which I guess it is kind of similar to the Star Wars one, but... It almost like would seem like it'd be better just to get like a chair and just put it, you know, next to it versus like this giant, like, and normally it's very large.
A chair isn't authentic to what I remember when I was a kid.
I understand that, but you know what? It doesn't matter though, because it's got the pedals, it's got the steering wheel and everything, the shifter. That's enough. I don't need it to have a bench as well. I'm still curious, and we talked about it a while back. It wasn't necessarily Arcade 1-Up, but remember there was that other company, and I can't remember the name that was offering it, but they had a bunch of other Arcade 1-Up-ish type things on there, mm-hmm, and one of those, of course, was the Jurassic Park arcade game, which would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious. I haven't heard anything about that. I'm on their mailing list, so whenever they do announce something.
So let me ask this question. When Arcade 1-Up releases a Dance Dance Revolution machine or a Beatmania 2DX machine, is that when we end OLR because things will have come full circle? Is that does that mean the circle of life is complete?
I mean, I don't think they'll ever do that because I don't think Konami will play ball with that. Have there been any Konami games on these Arcade 1-Up cabinets? Probably not.
I'm trying to think through on the original Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Oh, you're right. Ninja Turtles. That's right. Ninja Turtles was. I just don't see them doing that. It would be weird anyways. It would be kind of like the DDRO Hosta or something like that. You know, that really tiny shrunken down cabinet. Or like what's the Pump It Up equivalent? It's like oh gosh. I saw a picture of it too. Someone was playing like a really hard song on it. Pump and jump or like I don't remember what it's called anyways, but yeah, that'd be weird though. I can't picture that. I think if you want that kind of thing, you know, Dance Maniacs, that's for you. I mean, but this, I don't know.
JVmon in chat, which by, I haven't seen that name in a long time. Hello, hello, and welcome back. Good to see you. JVmon in chat says licensing the music would be a bitch, and that is very true. They would probably have to do some type of special mix, like if they really
USA mix,
yeah, USA mix that, two or something, or USA mix.
My beat, though.
Yeah, Konomics. You know, they could do something with it, but yeah, it probably would not be a literal release of, you know, a machine like you remember. It would be a customized.
I just don't think
mix.
It would sell well, like if they released one like that. I just don't think it.
Respectfully, I think you're absolutely wrong. I think there are so many people over the years. Think of how many people you've met that have said, like, I would get a DDR machine for my house if I had the money or if I had the space, you know, because those machines used to be like thousands of dollars. And if they are able to make them a little smaller, and you never know what they might do. They might not have a full stage. It might be a cabinet that comes with like a pad that you roll out or something. I don't know. I just don't hold me to it. I'm just saying, don't constrain yourself to what you know in the arcade today either. So, you know, they could do something, and I think there'd be a lot of people that would be interested in it because, you know, again, it's that whole case of look at us. We're all in our 40s now. And it might be the case of wanting to introduce the next generation to the shit we grew up on.
I'll tell you what. Here's what they can do then, since I think it's unrealistic to put out DDR in like one of these cabinets. I'd be willing to accept a Bishi-Boshi cabinet because that could be 3/4 scale and just as fun.
They just gasped. That would be so rad.
That would be. All right. Zushi AF in chat says, Just Dance is still popular. An arcade 1-Up DDR could appeal to that crowd. Yeah, I agree. Is that I think there's a lot more people that would buy one of those than Loki thinks. If I bought a fucking Burger Time arcade 1-Up machine, and no, I do not regret that purchase. If I bought one of those, there's enough people out there that would be willing to buy a DDR arcade 1-Up, depending on how
you know what, just they can hit me up once they put out an arcade 1-Up version of Dance Rush. But until then, you know, I think I'm good.
All right. And I just saw the red light go on, so I think we might have lost the internet again. I don't know. Are my co-hosts still there?
I'm still here.
All right. Okay. That was just a quick blip. Okay. It went green real fast. So it was just a quick off and on thing. So sorry. That might have caused a blip in our stream. Again, I'm just dealing with internet issues, but at least that one was fast enough. It was able to bridge the gap pretty quick. You might just got a little skip-a-roo there. On the Twitch TV stream. Sorry, guys. What can you do? The internet, it's out of my control. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's try to get as much show as we can before Comcast decides to assassinate us. All right. Let's talk about Friday the 13th and that game, which I liked the Friday the 13th game. It was kind of one of the first of those, like, 4-versus-1 type of games that I was playing. But it's had a rough go, and I think other games have kind of eclipsed it at that point. And I think this is probably the final curtain. Jason has finally killed us all, and that's because the PlayStation 4, PC, and Xbox One versions of Friday the 13th, the dedicated servers are going to be shut down in this month's patch. Now, that doesn't mean there's no more multiplayer, but it's going to be peer-to-peer matchmaking in quick play lobbies. There will still be database servers, but you will no longer play on dedicated game servers. That could cause things with, like, lag and stuff, depending on who you're playing with. So that is kind of a bummer. But this game has had troubles ever since it launched in 2017. They had a license that, like, went away in 2018, and so they can't do new content for the game. So, and I think a lot of people moved on to other games like Dead by Daylight that kind of ended up eclipsing it and so forth. But you know what? I have a lot of memories of watching Extifer and his sister and Flacco Jones play this game on stream, and they were a lot of fun to watch. And so I'm sad to see that this game isn't dead, but you know, this isn't a great move for the future of the game, which was already kind of nerfed anyway. So, She-Hulk 10 in chat says, Friday the 13th is a great game. Lawsuits caused it not to reach its full potential. Yeah, that's a bummer. But it is hard to look at then, you know, something like Dead by Daylight, which has, like, every other movie killer. Is Jason in Dead by Daylight? I don't think he is. But I think, like, every other movie killer I can think of is in that Dead by Daylight game. And, it's a lot. Like, between, like, Ghostface and all the other stuff that's in Dead by Daylight. All right. Gosh, we might have had a drop again, unfortunately. Are my co-hosts still there? Okay, so I've lost my co-hosts. So I think this is another big drop. So unfortunately, I'm going to pause the recording again. Sigh, we will be right back. Okay, and we're back after technical difficulty number 2 for the evening and the internet going down.
Time to start learning how to use logic, Rob.
Well, no, it's not just that, but it's just, you know, the start again, stop again is a pain in the butt.
That's what I meant for splicing the episode back together.
Oh, it'll be a pain no matter what program I use because you have to find the points. Anyway, but it's very frustrating, but what can you do? Thank you for the kind words in chat. Really appreciate it. But I do want to caution. I said going into tonight's show, I've got a 3 strikes policy. If it happens a third time, we will probably not come back from it. So just a heads up and just alert to Bobby Blackwolf. If you're out there listening tonight, you may need to commandeer the stream if we disappear one more time. But we're going to do our best to get through as much show as we possibly can tonight. So let's move on. So let's get to our next story. So Jason killed the show when we were talking about his game. We'll get right into our next story. Who's up? Dark Saga.
Oh, it would be me, wouldn't it? So we have our people who are curious about the DualSense controller and have decided to play around with it. It looks like the DualSense controller for PS5 it works with the Switch. A Twitter user named Broken Games with a Z HDR connected the DualSense to console using an adapter. It's the 8-bit Duo adapter. Or is it 8-bit? I guess it's 8-bit Duo. But anyway, software within it allows them to use the DualSense controller on it. He was able to switch menus, play a little bit of Mario Kart. So it looks like that even though it's not going to work on a PS4, it'll work on a Switch. He didn't bring up anything though about like the haptic feedback or the adaptive triggers. So we'll see what else happens. There have been some developers who are trying to get it to work on other systems like PC. Shakedown Hawaii's got a patch that allows people to use the DualSense controller. And other accessories, I mean, there's like the Pulse 3D headset, media remote, camera. We're going to wait and see how those, you know, if anyone's going to be able to make those work with other systems. So there you go.
You know, I'm hearing so much positive stuff about the PlayStation 5 controller, and some folks I know that went in on the PlayStation 5 were starting to get some of the accessories, including that controller early, which is probably what led to this story that Dark Soccer is talking about, is that already people want to try the controller everywhere else, but because there's no PS5 yet, but there will be in a couple days. But I'm really hearing wonderful things about that controller. I know when I was talking to Chad, he was saying great things about it, and some of the blogs and tweets and stuff about playing the new games is that a lot of what feels new about PlayStation 5 in this generation is how they've really changed the feedback. Is that, yeah, sure, the old DualShock controllers had that vibration feature that really changed gaming quite a bit. But, you know, think of your mobile phones. Mobile phones used to only do vibrate, and there was, you know, so much they could do with that. But then they went to that whole haptic feedback and how really different haptic feedback feels in some games. Like, I know, like in Ingress, when I'm tracing glyphs or something, it does a little bit of that haptic feedback, and it's a really cool kind of mechanism to let me know, like, you know, if I'm doing it right or whatever. And many games adopt this in different ways. And so it sounds like this is a really strong feature of PlayStation 5, is kind of how they're implementing that in that new controller. So I'm not surprised to hear that people want to use that controller in as many places as possible. So, Shad in chat follows up and says, I just realized how techie this week is. PlayStation 5, X Series X, and iPhone 12 Pro Max. Oof, it's going to be good. Yeah, Novembers usually are pretty techie though, because, I mean, I don't know if it ever seems like it's all the same week, but it does feel like all the treats are coming out right before Christmas. So, you know, or the holiday season, whatever, Black Friday. So, all right. Anyway, let's get into another story. Loki.
Yes, so Sega is selling off its arcade business. Now, not to panic anyone, we're not necessarily talking about that they're going to stop making arcade games, but mainly...
Oh my God, Sega... you just said they're going to stop making arcade games?
Yes, mainly the Sega arcades themselves. Okay. So they're selling their arcade business to a company called Genda, and... they are involved with arcade game rentals and online crane games. And then they're selling basically an 85.1% stake in Sega Entertainment Co. And they're going to take control of the arcades and their operations starting late December. So that's including 200 Sega arcades across Japan. And then also in Japan, Sega has actually asked some of its employees to retire voluntarily. So they've asked 650 employees to retire voluntarily with, of course, COVID-19 impacting their business. They've called it an extraordinary loss. And it says, however, in order to recover earnings at early stage and achieve sustainable growth in the future, we consider that it's necessary to promote cost reductions centered on fixed expenses and build an even more efficient system, and decided to call for a voluntary retirement of employees. It kind of sucks that they have to tighten their belts a bit, but hopefully they will make it through it. Sounds like they're in the perfect position to be bought by another company. Microsoft.
It's been a lot of the theorizing and stuff on the internet this week. And there was a kind of a coupling story about how Microsoft is really looking to get their foot in Japan and acquire somebody over there. And I don't know. There's a part of me that's like, hasn't this been like the what the fanboys have been saying for a long time now? It seems weird that an article like that comes out now. But I guess it is the week that Xbox Series X releases, and we've been asking for a while, like, is Microsoft going to try to make this one work in Japan? You know, it didn't work with Xbox. It didn't work with Xbox 360. Didn't work with Xbox One. Is this the time that Microsoft's really going to try for Japan, and is Japan going to take them seriously?
They should. I don't know, but there's a lot of stuff that I really do. I don't know how they're going to get foothold with Japan, but I think starting, you know, and bringing on some of these Japanese companies as well, like either a Sega or to a lesser extent Konami, I think would help. I don't know.
Gamer Extrafer is in chat. Hi, Extrafer. All these old faces coming back tonight. I wish we weren't having tech problems all night. I wish it was a better night for us, but hello, hello. Asked this question in chat saying, why does Microsoft seek validation in Japan every console generation? Money. It's money. But actually, they didn't, at least it felt to me, they kind of wrote it off with the Xbox One. Like, yes, they tried with 360 when they did, like, Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey, which were both actually kind of good, especially Lost Odyssey. I don't know why those didn't stick, but they didn't. But I do feel like they did kind of just let it go with Xbox One, but that might have something to do with the former leadership of the company, too. But I think at the end of the day, it just comes down to money. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's move on and talk about Steam, another place that people play games. Steam is implementing a feature called Playtest, and this is going to be a new way that folks can beta test PC games. Now, usually you have to do like demos or key distribution. Like, you know, I've been able to beta test a couple of games on Steam, and usually the developer would have to give me a key to be able to do that. But of course, when you do that, you might, and you've probably heard these horror stories of people cooking up fake emails and fake representation of YouTube channels and stuff, trying to basically scam their way into getting keys. And it's made a lot of companies very weary about doing that. So maybe there's a better way to do this. Well, Valve has done what's called Steam Playtest. So what developers do with this, you invite people and control access directly via the Steam store page for their game. So this way, developers can see, oh, this is how many people want to try it out. And we can enable it now for the game and disable it when it's over. Now, this is not a replacement for early access, and Valve did stress that in announcing this. They can actually use both concurrently, but early access is not free to use. This feature will be free to use, and it doesn't go directly to sales or anything. A playtest game doesn't have reviews or achievements or anything with the refund policy. So it's all in beta right now itself, but if you are a developer, you could check that out. You can sign up over at partner.steamgames.com to try that right now. If you want to see a game that's using this feature to see what it looks like, Total War Elysium is a game that's going through a playtest right now, and you can check that out. So kind of a neat way of changing things up on Steam, and I'm not surprised that they're trying to kind of mix that up, because I know that key stealing and stuff is a huge problem for developers, and it's a big strain on resources. So I'm surprised they don't just have like a verified list of these are the Steam accounts that are influencers, and they release the games that way. And I wonder if this is kind of going to be play into that as well. I know this is a little more about like signing up and expressing interest on online form, but it could be interesting to see how that works out long term. All right. Well, let's take a trip down memory lane to a time when games were not beta test as much. Well, actually, I can't really say the old classic lines that go with the 80s and 90s this week, because tonight we have a classic game that's a little bit newer.
Existed even then.
What?
Beta testing existed then.
Well, it did, but not like we didn't have influencers and it wasn't a wide thing. You know what I mean? It was a lot more narrow. But this game is usually to qualify, and I shouldn't say usually, as always, because tonight's game is no exception, to qualify as the classic game of the week, a game has to be at least 10 years old in order to be acknowledged as a classic game of the week. And I'm going to tell you, tonight's game is going to be one of those games where you're going to go, oh, shit, this game's 10 years old. Actually, I think it's 11.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Actually, no, it's it is just under 11 years old.
Okay.
And the game is Mass Effect 2. I've already done Mass Effect. I may as well do Mass Effect 2, right?
How appropriately timed.
Yeah. So, at any rate, it is an action role-playing game. It was developed by BioWare, published by Electronic Arts. It had a release for Windows and Xbox 360 in 2010. So, and if I recall correctly, that was January 26th, 2010. So less than 11 years. PlayStation 3 had its release in 2011. It basically takes place after, of course, the first game, Dur, and the collectors are out trying to collect people. So you play as Commander Shepard, and you have to build your team again and, you know, do little loyalty missions for everything. And then you've got your suicide mission, which is a big part of the mechanics and can be very sad if you don't do it right. So they did change several gameplay elements for this game versus the first one. They put more of the third-person shooter aspect as the emphasis, including limiting ammo, having regenerative health, and they wanted to, instead of just forwarding a singular plot, they wanted a plot with optional missions that would be as intense as the main mission. And so they had a composer, Jack Wall, also do came back for the soundtrack to give it a darker and more mature sound to go with the evolution of the game. We also had DLC, one called Kasumi Stolen Memory, Overlord, Lair of the Shadow Broker, and Arrival. And I mean, this game is like one of the highest rated games for the systems that came out, but we'll get to a little bit of that in a moment. So basically you can decide anything you want to about Shepard, I guess, within the standards of when the game came out. So you only had, you know, the binary for gender, but you had amazing voice acting in the form of Mark Meer and Jennifer Hale. Of course, I always play Fem Shep because she was the original. You have different character classes to choose from. You have each of them have their own proficiency in different sets of abilities and weapons. And then you have, like, your galaxy map that you go look for quests to do. Thank God they got rid of the fucking mining from the first game and just had it be, you know, something you do from your map screen. I hated the running around and looking for shit like that. Although I do kind of like running around and looking for missions, I guess. You basically, you have your probe mechanics instead. Combat is squad-based, and you gotta have your squad. You have two squad members that go with you, and you have direct control over Shepard, and then AI controls your squad mates. So battles are all real-time, but you can pause your action, look around things, select different powers, and it has an over-the-shoulder perspective, which for me made it really easy to play like that, because I didn't get motion sick. Your weapons can overheat if fired continuously. You do have a finite magazine that you have to reload. You've got your shielding. So we're going to go on to another thing with this one where you have your morality system. It has a radial command menu, meaning, you know, circular-ish. And you have your dialogue options that appear on the wheel. So left side is typically for items that just continue in-depth conversation. The right side is typically completion, and your responses are anywhere between polite and selfless, middle of the road, and then aggressive and hostile. So you also do have a context sensitive interrupt, where you can interrupt with different types of moral actions with different triggers. Those choices will impact how others react to Shepherd. In some cases, you can get discounts, you get romances, and it also affects the way Shepherd looks, because if you go more on the Paragon side, which is the charm one, then you will, your scars from the beginning of the game will heal up and you'll look more human. Renegade, they will glow ugly red. Renegade is your intimidation. And in some cases, you know, the way that you go with that has a bearing on the loyalty of your squad member, which gives them also different abilities. So, and then after you've beaten the game, you get a new game plus, so that you can basically replay the same character. So it's pretty cool. I mean, we've got so many wonderful characters, Garrus, that, I mean, it's, and you could romance Garrus in this one. I'm sorry, that's the most important thing about this game. Just saying. And they also did put a little bit more of a nod toward the Liara romance with Lair of the Shadow Broker, because she wasn't originally a main character for this game. So anyway, like I said, and I just mentioned Lair of the Shadow Broker, you have the different packs that could come out with the different contents. You had the character outfits, different stories with Lair of the Shadow Broker and Arrival, which are actually a major part of the plot. And then the Arrival one actually leads directly into Mass Effect 3. And then, of course, the other ones is the loyalty mission for Zaid, which is The Price of Revenge. Kasumi Stole a Memory, and Overlord adds 5 new missions to the game. They were all just really great. I think the characters have all been, you know, wonderfully fleshed out, and I really, one of the things I've enjoyed about this game, just to my heart, has been character development and the true story that you could make it really go in different directions. And then so with this, like I said, this game was very, very well received. For Metacritic, Xbox 360 had 96 of 100, and the other two had 94 of 100. Eurogamer gave it a 10 of 10. Hamitsu for Xbox 360 gave it 36 of 40, and PS3 a 35 of 40. The only site that gave it anything less than a really good score was Game Critics, and we don't care about what they have to say. They gave it a 7.5 out of 10, so it was still better than average.
Seriously, there are many people that consider Mass Effect 2 to be, if not the greatest game of the last decade that it came out, many people consider it the best video game of all time. Like, period.
It's everyone's Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Now, I will tell you this. I'm a Return of the Jedi person, and I actually prefer Mass Effect 3 over this for certain things, because a lot more Garrus romancing goodness and the Citadel, you know, stuff.
Yeah. Two and 3 are very similar for me. 3 had the multiplayer, though, which I don't understand why some parts of the fandom hated that so much. I thought it really enhanced an already strong game.
And I'm going to answer Phoenix 7726, who says, no Dragon Age Origins or Mass Effect 2. I don't know what that has to do with what I'm talking about, because I'm doing Mass Effect 2 right now. You mean fleshed out characters? No, I thought that they were... Okay, he's talking about something that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Mass Effect 2 is a fantastic game, and I'm not shitting on it at all. I love Mass Effect 2. But Mass Effect 3 I enjoyed it better. I like the story better. I like more Garrus time better. But Mass Effect 2 has received numerous Game of the Year awards for soundtrack, for characters, for writing. It won Best Xbox 360 Game and Best RPG at the 2010 Spike Video Game Awards. So Phoenix was saying, what did I like better? I really don't like playing Dragon Age Origins at all. I love the story. I hate playing it. I hate playing that game. So Mass Effect 2, I clearly prefer to Dragon Age Origins. Not meaning I hate the game. I love the story. I hate playing it.
I get it.
You know, and I also hate the lack of interactivity with the main character, that you just sort of get her voice grunting and not really working with people.
It's kind of like the original Mass Effect. It's hard to play, I think, compared to 2 and 3. But the story is still something you've got to get through. You know what I mean?
On top of that, honestly, Mass Effect is much easier to play than Dragon Age Origins. I'm going to go ahead and put it there, because you could actually... felt like your character was interacting with other characters. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So at any rate, you know, you have, you know, just so much going on with this. Like I said, it's received so many accolades. You know, it was winning awards through 2011. And so as far as Mass Effect 2, actually, it's funny because Games Radar editor Holland Cooper gave it the Empire Strikes Back of video games as its nickname. It definitely had more human depth in it. A lot of people love it. And it was listed by several other publications as one of the greatest video games of all time, even as late as 2018. It was one of the selected 80 titles from the past 40 years to be added in the Art of Video Games exhibit at the Smithsonian. So there you go. Of course, in 2012, Mass Effect 3 was released, where, you know, it picks up with the Reaper invasion, where you try to shoot at the Reaper that can't really be shot at, but whatever. And so now we, of course, are going into having a well-upgraded re-release. So there you go. Mass Effect 2. Bam.
There it is. Your classic game of the week. The one and only Mass Effect 2. Excellent, excellent choice, Dark Sakura. Although it is, again, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, shit, that game's 10 years old. Because I remember when I first played it. Although I came to the series kind of late, so maybe that kind of warps my perception of time, too. I didn't play Mass Effect 2 until Mass Effect 3 had been out for a couple of weeks. And, you know, Shane was like, you got to play this, you got to play this, you got to play this. All right, fine, I'll play it. Oh, wow, it is actually pretty good. And I played
Shane is our ultimate enabler.
Yeah, the entire trilogy in like a month, so.
It's Shane's mutant power.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, still never played it. I resisted Shane. Well, hang in there. No, I think it's worth playing. Well, the remaster is going to be a great reason to jump in again, for sure. And the focus is off the multiplayer, and you don't have to worry about, are they going to have to change an ending or whatever, or DLC or any of that, because it'll all be in one. So I will say, you know, I'm just hoping the Legendary Edition doesn't do any other changes that could make the game worse, because you never know. But hopefully if they're just sticking to, it's a remaster and not a remake type of thing, then it should be great. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll see. But yeah, and that's, and ActDev says, I only played the first for an hour. That's the other difficult thing at this point, is that obviously, if I tell you to play the trilogy, you're going to want to start with one. And it's hard to hear that the better games are 2 and 3 for sure, and that one is very different, like combat wise, and you know, with other stuff. So that's why we're kind of hoping, like a lot of the fans of the series are hoping, that the Legendary Edition is going to fix some of that. Like obviously, I don't know to what extent I want them to mess with one, but I just hope they make it just a little more like friendlier to kind of really be that first game where many people want to jump in. Because honestly, I'm not going to lie to you, it is kind of difficult to get into. But if you do kind of stick it out and with the story and everything, it's good. And if you're worried about the difficulty of combat, don't be. There's a very easy difficulty mode. And like on the easiest setting, the squad mates will like do all the work for you practically. You can use space magic once in a while and that'll be it. So anyway, So you can also check out the first game on Game Pass. I believe it's still there. I don't know how much longer it'll be there, because I imagine they're going to want to pull the original trilogy, even with, and somebody had brought up in chat, well, with EA Play coming to Game Pass, they'll probably do something. But I'm like, well, they're probably going to want to get rid of the original trilogy, because they're going to want the Legendary Edition to kind of speak for the series. So we'll see. Bobby kind of elaborates on his experience with Mass Effect in chat, saying, I went to a planet. I think it wasn't the planet I was supposed to go to, and this big worm came out and ate me multiple times. And I was like, okay, done. I don't see, it's been so long since I played the first game now. Unfortunately, I don't know what that experience was, but I also know how that goes when you hit that point in a game where you're like, all right, I'm doing something wrong. So, ooh, something else shiny. You know, I get it. Been there, done that. So, all right. Well, let's move on with some rapid fire news. And we'll start with Loki, with guest host Stella the Cat on his shoulder there, as the chat room is noticing.
Let's talk about some delays.
Oh, boy.
I love those delays. So first off, Control, their next gen upgrade has been delayed to next year. And you remember there was some issue with Control and whether they could possibly give the update out for free or couldn't do that, and it required you to buy a brand new Ultimate Edition for $40, even if you owned the original copy of the game on Xbox One and had the DLC, you still had to buy the Ultimate Edition in order to get that upgrade.
Yeah.
Well, all that nonsense is being delayed to next year, so maybe they'll figure it out by then. So that'd be something, wouldn't it? And to go along with that, though, not necessarily an upgrade, but that game, The Medium, which is kind of comparative a little bit to this Silent Hill, that's also been delayed to 2021, which is weird because I thought that game was coming out in 2021. But apparently it was originally supposed to come out in December 10th, but now it is going to be missing that date a little bit. So it's going to be coming out now January 28th. Too much of a delay, but still a little bit. So we'll have to look forward to that in January. And last but not least, Kerbal Space Program 2, which I believe the developer was purchased by Epic Games. That game now is not even coming out until 2022. Originally, the game was
all right,
scheduled for
and
fall
he was
going to
finish talking about a delay on Kerbal Space 2, but unfortunately, that was another drop of the internet, and that looks like that's going to be the third drop for the night. So I think that is where we're unfortunately going to have to end things for tonight. I'm glad we at least got through the classic game, because that would have been terrible if we had to like roll that over. But yeah, unfortunately, I'm sitting here by myself with no internet right now, and Comcast is not wanting to play along and allow our show to finish tonight. And that's just, you know, this didn't used to be a problem because we used to be all in the same studio. And so when the internet would cut out, we could kind of keep going just for the sake of the recording. But now in this 2020 world that we live in, unfortunately, I have to rely on Discord, just like many of us rely on Zoom and things like that, to keep things going. And unfortunately, it has given out.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.